Last week, you may have heard, part of I-85 in Atlanta collapsed, and now the city is not only in a state of gridlock, but also uncertainty. Here's WSB-TV reporting on the incident Thursday.
I-85 has collapsed here.
What?
A portion of the interstate has fallen in because of these flames. You can see here where it's gone.
It's gone. At a news conference yesterday, officials with the Georgia Department of Transportation said work to repair the bridge will not be finished until June 15th. Here's GDOT Commissioner Russell McMurray.
A very aggressive but attainable date is we want to incentivize even an earlier completion.
The U.S. Department of Transportation ordered $10 million in emergency relief funds so the state can begin repairs immediately. GPB News reporter Sam Whitehead joins us now. Hey, Sam.
Good morning.
So, first, can I ask you about the GDOT claim that they're going to incentivize early completion?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
So GDOT's taking more of the carrot approach for this. By incentives, I think the best we can assume is what they mean is money. So they already have a contractor that they've selected to do this work, and it's a contractor that's worked with the state before. So I think it was back in 2001, there was a tanker truck that caught fire at the 285 overpass with 400. This is that same contractor that GDOT has brought in to do this repair, and essentially they're going to, I would assume, pay them more for finishing this sooner. So GDOT seems very focused on at least making public the idea that they're focused on getting this done as soon as possible.
Okay, so at this point, do we have more information about what caused the fire? Let's listen actually again to Russell McMurray of GDOT saying that he's talking about the construction materials that were underneath the bridge. He says they were stored securely.
In an effort to save taxpayer dollars, GDOT chose to store the material in hopes that it could be used for another project. And there was a sign placed that was state property and no trespassing. The area was breached, and by individual or individuals who allegedly trespassed on state property, as with the devastating outcome we are now dealing with.
Okay, so he's talking about the three individuals who are in police custody. What else do we know about exactly how the fire began?
That is still very unclear at this point. There were a number of questions. So this tape is from a press conference that GDOT held yesterday. There were a number of questions leveled at GDOT officials about, you know, that question, particularly what actually happened here. They said that fire investigators were still figuring out exactly how this fire was caused, but it's no secret that GDOT had stored this material under the bridge and that it had been there for actually a number of years. So,
and that it's been described as highly combustible.
Yes. So there was actually a moment yesterday where the GDOT spokesperson, Natalie Dale, who's been running a lot of cover here, brought out a plastic water bottle and said, this is what was under the bridge. So what it was is high-density polyethylene. It's a kind of plastic. You know it from a plastic water bottle. It's got the little number two in it, I believe. But there was also fiberglass in there. And this is stuff that's not supposed to burn on its own. But if something is on fire, it certainly isn't going to help the situation once that catches.
And again, here's GDOT Commissioner Russell McMurray addressing the issue of whether or not the GDOT violated any rules or regulations by storing it there.
Through this review and investigation, we're going to be fully transparent and open. If there's anything that needs to be changed, we will certainly do so. And we look forward to the full completion of investigation from the local fire authorities as well as the joint review with the state fire marshal and with the NTSB.
NTSB is the National Traffic and Safety Board. It sounds like what he is saying is it's possible that although they were not in violation, they could change the rules so that kind of storage of materials isn't allowed in the future?
I think that's right. So what Commissioner McMurray said yesterday was that GDOT had not violated any of their own policies by storing the equipment there. He was quick to note, however, that they would be reviewing those policies.
Right.
And so what he described happened over the weekend was GDOT went around to make sure that there wasn't any other kind of material like this stored under any other bridges here in the state. But he also mentioned the NTSB. So the feds are coming in and they're going to look at this.
Well, they're giving us $10 million, I expect that they probably want to not have to pay $10 million for another bridge.
Exactly, exactly. And what Commissioner McMurray said yesterday was that he was hoping other cities and states could learn from what's happened here in Atlanta. And that's going to be a process of the NTSB coming in and releasing a report. And it seems that states are actually already paying attention. I saw an item in AP yesterday. Maryland, the state of Maryland, has actually gone and checked under its interstate overpasses to make sure that it's not storing materials like these under any of their bridges. So Atlanta's kind of in the national spotlight now because people are potentially going to be learning from some mistakes made here.
Okay. So exactly what happens at this point? We know that the construction will go forward. And as you said, it's quote unquote incentivized to happen quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of the investigation, is it possible that someone at some point will be held to blame beyond the three individuals that are in police custody?
That, I think, is still very much up in the air at this point. At this press conference yesterday, now that we've kind of gotten over the initial shock of, oh, this happened and everyone having to deal with the traffic, a lot of the other reporters there are really starting to turn and focus on who really is to blame here. You mentioned that we have these three individuals who say they were around under this bridge before the fire started. But there were still a lot of questions leveled yesterday. And I think these are questions that are still unanswered about even if GDOT was following policies, were those the appropriate policies to have in the first place? Because it's one thing to say, hey, we have a policy, we were following that policy, but looking at what actually happened as a result of that policy still raises this question of, was that the right one to have in the first place?
And there were also questions, were there not, about whether or not a bridge is supposed to catch on fire and collapse even in the best of circumstances.
Yeah, and so GDOT's chief engineer, Meg Perkle, talked about that. So this bridge, she said, was built in 1984 and was last inspected in 2015. She said that these bridges were actually in pretty solid condition, and I think we have some tape about that.
Yeah, we do. We still have bridge inspection crews working at the site to review areas uncovered by debris as the removal continues. We're optimistic that we will not find any additional critical damage. However, we still have one span to remove before completing the inspections.
So they still have a piece of the bridge to take away.
Yeah, so it was the northbound span that collapsed, but the southbound span was also damaged. And that really works into the timeline here. What GDOT has said the entire time is that they're not really going to be confident specifically what they're going to have to do until they get this second span removed. So though they have this 10-week June 15th timeline, they still haven't finished that demolition of that second span. So they expect that to happen this week. It's unclear whether or not they'll change the timeline at all, but they seem pretty confident that still June 15th is going to be the finish date.
So we just have just a few seconds here left. I want to bring one more voice in this. And this is a person who was noticing a lot more crowds on MARTA.
Hi, I'm Cecilia, and I'm from Roswell, Georgia. And I rode MARTA today to go downtown so I wouldn't have to deal with extra traffic because of the fire. And I went to the North Springs exit, which I've never had trouble parking, and the parking lot was full. So I had to find another MARTA station to park at.
And we're assuming the traffic is going to continue, as we just heard, at least until June 15th. Thanks so much to GPB News reporter Sam Whitehead.
Yeah, thanks for having me.